Welcome back to the Petcash Pod, presented by ProFluent Sports. I'm your host, Andrew Petcash. Please leave this a five-star review. If you enjoy these, it helps get the word out. Also, make sure to hit the follow button to never miss another one. We had a great guest today in Jared Kleinstein. He is the CEO and founder of Fresh Tape Media, which is an agency serving many of the top sports leagues and companies. And also, he founded Gondola, which was a solution he found while building the agency. We dive deeper into both. He gives great insights on the state of content, on the state of social media, all within the world of sports, where it's going, other interesting trends. Jared's a good one. Lots of great nuggets in this. You'll love it. And for other podcasts, profluence.com/podcast, you can listen to them all there. We are nearing 130 episodes. It's pretty incredible. So thanks for being here. Let's dive in. Jared, appreciate you hopping on today. Been excited for this one for a while. We got it done in the now X DMs, but you came from there. Super cool background. Let's start there, unpack it, and then all the great stuff you got going on at Gondola as well. Excited to jump into it.
For sure. Well, thanks for having me on. This is pretty awesome what you built. So yeah, I'll talk about how it all came about, how I ended up like at this weird office and desk that I don't know if, I guess pod listeners can't see, but Justin Bieber's looking down on me here always. So I'm from Denver originally. So the fact that I'm here now was me knowing after growing up here that I wanted to end up back in Colorado. And after college, I did a long stint in New York. I was at a company called Street Easy, which is a real estate website. We were acquired by Zillow in 2013. And then after that, I got a job at Vine. And for those that are listening and that work in sports, I had the best job at the best time in the history of sports. I ran sports partnerships for Vine, which meant in 2016, I was there 2014 till we all got shut down at the end of 2016. And there was no better time in sports, right? Like if any of y'all listening remember, that's like Cubs winning the first World Series in 100 years, Cavs coming back from 3-1 and LeBron brings a championship to Cleveland. Simone Biles and Michael Phelps are in the Rio Olympics. Leicester wins the Premier League. It was the best. And I was the only sports person other than, you know, interns and other folks that would join my team. But I was the Vine guy for the sports creative community. So that meant that if you were at the NBA or NHL, you worked with me.
Yeah. And you forgot 2016, Andrew Petcash, you know, wins a Whippeal title in high school Western PA basketball.
It's weird that I didn't bring that up. I was hoping you would. I'm glad. It was weird. I didn't want to get too much like in your head this early in the podcast, but that was a big moment. I mean, Peyton Manning was in the Super Bowl and also Petcash. Like those are hand in hand.
Crazy.
Yeah. So running sports partnerships for Vine was the dream job. And then when Vine shut down, I had no idea what to do with my life, but I was with some former coworkers, or one, Andrew Barge, who's now a Meat Eater. And we were at the Ace Hotel and he said, you should just do your own thing. And I said, I don't want to be like a consultant. And he said, start an agency. And I said, I've never worked at an agency. I don't think I could pull that off. And he goes, just ask our old clients. I think they'd probably work with you. So, you know, where some people are like, I'm an entrepreneur by trade. I was like, okay, maybe. So I had made a couple of calls and said, hey, would you work with me? And a few of our old clients, like Major League Soccer and the NBA, said, sure. So I started a creative production company agency back then in 2017, Fresh Tape Media, still kicking it today. We've got 15 people here in our office in Denver. And that was sort of like what brought me back to Denver, is knowing that if I was going to run a sports agency or in today's world, I didn't need to be in New York. I could be anywhere, in Denver would be somewhere that's like a great hub to get to all over the country. So started Fresh Tape in 2017. And then we built an internal tool to track our own work and figure out who on our team worked on what. And after using it for 2 years and not telling people, we had this epiphany in 2020 that was like, wait a second, if you can paste a link from Instagram and see who the videographer was on that video, then we haven't just made a tracking tool for our company. We've made like IMDb for social media. We should probably let other people use this. So we spun it off, called it Gondola. And that is what I'm working on every day now.
It's interesting on the Denver thing too. I just heard of a big sports group moving from LA to Denver potentially because it's just easier to get everywhere because it's so central.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. You think in Oakview or? Yeah. Yep. I mean, there's a lot of value to being in a market like this. It's the smallest city in the country to have all four sports teams in the same city. It's also the furthest distance from any other major sports team. I think the closest is like either Utah or Phoenix, but you know, it's a great market. Also, the airport, people complain about how far it is from downtown, but it gets anywhere. And it's good people. And the best, I'm not going to, this, I know that this isn't supposed to just be about like a Denver hype video. I think that hard workers work hard anywhere. If you have like that New York hustle and you move to Montana, I don't think you're just going to chill. I think you're going to work hard. So the difference is when you're not working, what do you do? And do you love it? And when I'm not working here, I get to ski, I get to bike or rollerblade or do any of the things I love, hang out with my dog. It's just a good life. And my kid, it's a great, great life here.
I do agree with that. Curious, going back now, you're at Vine, TikTok nowadays, sort of the reincarnation of it. Did you see it coming? Did you think that it was a mistake at the time there? Because I'm sure you'd love to be sitting also if Vine was what TikTok is today.
You know, I've said it before, I'll say it a million times. Vine walked so TikTok could run. There were so many little things we were doing, especially even by the end, like product-wise, that were indicative of where the market was going and where TikTok took hold. And Musical.ly, which became TikTok, was starting to be a thing, but it hadn't really taken that market share that it has today. I think the tough thing was, I don't know if people at Twitter in leadership at the time would have or could have invested what needed to be to get to where TikTok did when it comes to things like the algorithm and machine learning, and also focus on music and music licenses and rights, which I know now is a whole another thing with the UMG deal. But they, it was a wonderful, wonderful time. There were little things that we were doing. We added a music feature in our last year, which obviously was massive for TikTok. We were adding long form, which is similar to how TikTok went from shorter videos to adding longer and longer pieces of content. So I think that while I'm really grateful for that time, anybody who tweets like bring back Vine is just thinking from nostalgia, not from like actual productivity. Like TikTok is a better product. It is a better creation. It has better creation tools than we ever had. It has better better algorithm for consumption. It's awesome what they built.
It's pretty insane. Now, how do you, between Fresh Tape and Gondola, what's sort of the relationship? Are they one and the same, separate entities? How do they work together? Because I'm sure there's a lot of mutually beneficial relationships there as well.
For sure. So I feel really lucky because they're both two such different offerings, right? But at the same time, we're all trying to service the sports community and the creative community at large. The way they work together, two separate companies now, but I have, where I used to be running Fresh Tape day to day, David Herman, who used to run sports partnerships for Twitter North America, David is the GM of Fresh Tape. So he runs the day to day. It has a full team that doesn't rely on Gondola for anything. Gondola has its own team as well. But we have some great sort of ability to work together. So when Gondola, we're throwing our sports summit in a couple of weeks. So when that May 15th, we're so excited.
Got it. In Denver.
Yeah. And we've got
people sign up on your website or trying to promote you here a little bit.
I thought you were going to say at the very end, like anything you want to plug. And I would be like, well, we happen to be having this sports summit, but they beat me to it.
We might as well hit it while it's hot at the beginning. Cause there's a little drop off when the promotion comes at the end. So I got you there.
We'll go like Mr. Beast on this. Be like, in a few minutes, we're going to talk about the one thing that will change your creative career. But until then, the Gondola Sports Summit is happening on May 15th, 16th in Denver, Colorado. Yeah. Anyway, yep. It's going to be dope. We have creators from every single team, from every league coming. We have a lot of team reps, big brands coming. It's going to be awesome. And it's the people that like don't have an event for them right now. Social media managers, the creative producers, there really isn't an event targeted for them right now. We're stoked on it. But anyway, so like where most people that are starting an event for their software company would have to think about who's going to do our graphic designs, who's going to do our email marketing, like Fresh Tape has all that internally. So we get to do like a really great, you know, strategic partnership for the event. And then the way we work with clients is different. So if you're a sports league and you're looking to hire videographers, you can just go to Gondola, right? You can go to Gondola and find an amazing database of creators. And if you work with Fresh Tape, Fresh Tape will source creators through Gondola, handle the communication, handle the relationship, handle contracts, handle logistics. So there's like that higher touch that the production company can give that a software company can't right now. And it just works together pretty damn well. I feel really lucky.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. And we use it. I mean, it was meant to be a product for Fresh Tape, right? Like as a tracking tool. So if somebody said, hey, how many views have you got on your NBA content this year? I'd be like, doop. 986 million, right? It's just like that fast to get the data out. So
very cool. I know there's a lot of people now, sort of similar situation to you, especially after 2020, and been in their career, worked at cool places in sports, getting into fractional or agency work. You know, what was that transition like for you? How did I know you didn't even, you sort of just fell in your lap.
Yeah.
Once you had the clients, how did you approach it? How did you scale it? What did that look like?
So it's really easy to scale a business in terms of like hiring other people when you have no marketable skills yourself, right? Like if you're a photographer and you want to start a production company, you'll probably do a lot of photography at first. And then if somebody says, come shoot our events, you'll do it, right? Whereas almost everything we offered outside of creative strategy and ideation, I can't do myself. I'm a really bad editor. If Sam Zuber is listening to this, is one of my best friends from childhood, I totally botched his engagement photos. I said I was going to take them from a corner and they're totally overexposed, not even usable. Like, I shouldn't be creating content. So from the beginning, I knew that in order to scale, I had to outsource. I built a really great community through Vine. So the early creators for Fresh Tape were people that had crushed it with social content on Vine already. People like Caleb Natale's got millions of TikTok followers now. Lawrence Becker's got the same, who's a stop motion creator who could do a million things. Max Huggins, who was like the creative producer at Clemson and really was a big part of them becoming a creative juggernaut. He was our first creative director. So the transition sort of happened by making it up on the fly and trusting the creatives around me to make great content.
For the people that have a million and they're photographers, are they able to monetize on just sponsorship too? Or what does that look like for these people? I'm always curious on that because I get you could hire them, but because they're also creating the content, are they sort of influencers themselves or what does that look like?
It really depends. At the time, a lot of the people we worked with didn't have huge followings post-Vine that worked with us that now do. But, you know, it also is related to the value of Gondola where influencers are often paid for their distribution, right? You hire a photographer with a million followers because not only is it going to be a good photographer, but they also may be able to distribute the content on their channels. You get that extra distribution and viewership and can potentially grow your community. The people that are under-recognized that we probably work with much more often are people that are really talented but don't have a significant following. So it's more work for hire and they're working for us, but they've never really been able to get credit for that because let's just, who's your favorite sports team? Just pick a rather than
Steelers.
Okay. So when the Steelers put up a photo of on their Instagram, if it's an influencer, maybe they'll credit that. Maybe they'll tag them in the copy or in the actual tags. But if it's, you know, somebody on the team that just did a photographer on the team took a photo, they're not getting credited on every photo. So really until Gondola came around, there really wasn't like recognition for the people behind the content. So we at Fresh Tape are balancing two things. Fresh Tape is balancing two things when trying to work with creatives for the clients. What is the best like skill set and need that the client has for the shoot? And if there's somebody that has that skill set that has distribution, then being able to say like, hey, we can pay additional amounts and y'all could help with distribution, which would make the client happy. But we try to focus first on is the content going to be great?
Yeah. And Jared, on the agency side, it makes sense from Gondola, what's that business model look like? Are you offering it for free? Is it a marketplace or, you know, how is that operating? Because it seems to have a little bit more of a unique model than traditional agency.
For sure. So Gondola works on a, you know, freemium model for creators. So you'll never have to pay to take credit for your work is the way we see it. Like if you're a broke college kid or you're a mega successful influencer, if you took a photo, you should get credit for that. There's no pay for that. We have premium accounts, like our pro account is $10 a month and it gets you additional exposure on the site, different features and whatnot. And then we have a B2B SaaS model where we have a Teams account. So the team posts jobs, they can get advanced analytics on their creators. Because what we've done is we've made the sort of the experience of saying, I made this as a creator, something that doesn't upset the employer. For years, that was like, you couldn't be an employer and a creator. And like the creator says, I did this. And the employer is normally like, you work for me, you know? So with Gondola, we've made it so that the creator can say they did something and the employer gets data on that. So they can see the ROI on their creative team. So we have that, this B2B model and the event stuff too is going to be pretty wild.
And then sitting on the back end on the agency side and then with this creator tool, trends in content or where do you see a lot of this space going? Because it feels like huge transitions right now. Everyone wants to talk about Gen Z and what are you seeing? Because you're hosting a whole summit around this. If there's anyone to have the right insights, it's, you know, you're definitely at the top of that list.
For sure. So there's a couple different things that I like to think about when I'm talking about trends and where the industry is going. First of all, the technology and the creative content coming out has actually slightly plateaued over the last couple of years. So from 2013 till 2018 or so, you saw people going from they've never caught content on their phones to like that raw footage and the content being shot in ways never could before. You saw people, sort of the democratization of the editing tools so that more and more people can use the Adobe suite and can really create unique content. Then you saw VFX becoming a bigger thing. Then you saw FPV drones. You have all these different things that are really advancing the creative. And in the last couple of years, there's less like eye-popping, I've never seen that before styles coming. So what's becoming the focus is more on a combination of maintaining high quality and efficiency, right? Like AI is not out there generating content that people have never seen before, but it's making people's lives in the creative industry more effective and efficient so that you're going to see people, you know, if you're a sports team, rather than thinking of something that's never been done before, you may be using AI to sort of analyze what's going to perform best and being more efficient with how you create things and doing things more quickly. You also see the cycle that I love to talk about, which the quality cycle over time hasn't shifted. What it is every couple of years, there's this sort of up and down swing of, do we want high quality or do we want raw? Do we want authentic? So 2013, 14, you see people using their iPhones for the first time and everything like shaky and raw. And there was a clip of Damian Lillard making a three that like went super viral because everybody's like, oh my God, I've never seen it from that angle. It feels like I'm there. Then all of a sudden you get gimbals and you have people uploading content with DSLRs and mirrorless cameras. So you have this increase in quality. Then you see people not holding the gimbals and they're still using nice cameras, but they're letting it feel handheld. And then you go back to people doing more VFX content. There's this up and down where people want raw and then they want high quality. So that's going to keep going and it's just going to shift what tools we use over time to sort of enable that trend line. But I think that generally the thing that's happening now is stronger investment than ever in the creative social teams, right? It's not the, you know, cliche that's 10 years old of like the intern on social. It is the actual, a full team of people generating content. And the biggest trend is like they have to make money now and it has to be revenue driving if you're going to invest that much in it. So you're seeing a lot more brand social people. You're seeing people focus on distribution. It's going in the right direction.
Thoughts on AR and VR from a viewing standpoint?
I think that after like trying a Vision Pro in the Apple store blew my mind. But like I felt that way a little bit when I first was trying, you know, VR headsets and using a company called Next VR that was doing NBA games and some MLS and whatnot. They were a client of ours and we would use them on. It was like sick at the time. They got bought by Apple. You know, it's all tied together. I think that the VR, AR space, it's going to be really interesting. The smaller that the headsets and everything gets, the more effective they'll be for people to actually use them for training and stuff like that. I think that training in VR and AR is really helpful. You see it with things like learn how to make a latte. I know that's not sports, but like it's a lot easier to teach somebody in VR than it is with a book and a manual or even watching YouTube videos. So I think that training with sports and all that is going to be really wonderful. I think that I'm bullish on AR more than VR because I love I don't want to be disconnected from people. You know, I still like call people instead of texting. So anybody I know who's Gen Z thinks I'm a weirdo because I just call. They're like, are you dead? Did something happen? And I'm like, no, I'm just calling. So yeah.
I'm big on the FaceTime. So I think I sit like right in between that. It's like not quite a call, not quite a text, but same thing.
Oh, for sure. It feels like, you know, if our grandparents could have FaceTimed with other cousins that live in Russia, they'd be like, you know, they would have loved it. They never would have thought of it as a negative. They'd be like, oh my God, I can see them right there.
Anyway. Yeah. Any other trends you got your eye on? We touched on content, artificial intelligence, AR, VR.
I think that there's some really great stuff. And when it comes to content capture, one big trend that we've seen in the last 2 years is, as I mentioned, with the quality cycle, these are really good cameras. Phones, like action mode on an iPhone is as good as a GoPro 10 years or 5 years ago, right? So you'll notice there's all the sports leagues have programs now called like their LCC programs or LSC or DC. And these are local correspondent programs where the NFL and NHL and MLB, they all have people in each market reporting to the league that are creating at each event. And for years, they've been hiring some of the best creators in the country for this. Like, I mean, there's some legends like Billy Quach is a guy in KC who's been killing it for a long time. In Denver, there's a guy, Riley Clinton, who's been in LCC for a long time for the NFL. And they're amazing creatives. And this year, they were all asked to shoot with iPhones too. So you're talking about somebody who may have years of film experience being asked to use an iPhone to capture content. And that's not an insult to them. You'd hope they can still bring different structural history from like understanding film and whatnot for how they're going to shoot. But it means that more and more people are going to have access to the sideline because they know how to capture a moment, not just because they know how to use a camera.
Yeah, the storytelling is everything.
For sure. And you also going to see, like, I think that we've been talking for years about athlete social and athlete digital being more of a priority. I used to have my own doubts about NIL because I didn't understand why college athletes would be willing to do NIL deals if pro athletes don't. And a guy named Will Yoder, who's at Meta, gave great insight to me to explain like why it's going to blow up the way it did. This is like 3 years ago. Now looking at that market, I think that the thing that will change athlete social the most is not the market itself. It's just that people aging from their college lives where they are doing it more, like the Jeremy King, that's guy at Duke, like people like Jeremy King going to the pros and already having it in them that they are creators is going to shift how many more athletes publish content. So you have player social departments at the leagues focused entirely on this.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's he gets after it. He does all the dancing and it's great attention.
Oh yeah. And he's like, they get it. They know their market. They know what they're creating for, right? Like, I think that like where my market, my, you know, audience these days is like dads with little kids. So I don't think I can make like Charlie D'Amelio videos and people are going to think it's cool. But I think that there is like these athletes are going to come out of college just with a different kind of understanding about how to monetize their own pages and a little bit more willingness to be vulnerable. I think that some of them have just accepted that their whole lives are being recorded, right? They just know that unlike, you know, 10 years ago where you could kind of like get away with things, like if you do anything, somebody is going to record you on your campus, right? You're under the microscope. So instead of just trying to like act like that's something you don't want to happen, embracing it and being like, okay, I'm just going to capture more myself. I'm going to tell my own story. I'm going to craft my own narrative. The democratization of players, their own content is going to be massive once these college kids come out.
Yeah, it's very cool. And Gondola, what do you got on the roadmap? What's next? Where are you guys building? Or even Fresh Tape too.
Sure.
What's on the line for you? You got another tool that you've been secretly hiding for a couple of years that you're going to launch or what's this all looking like?
Yeah, we're doing some stuff. Our best ideas come from necessity, right? Like we have a problem that we're facing and we try to come up with a solution for it. So like Gondola is going to launch something that's a feature that Fresh Tape's been trying to solve for years, which is trying to organize your own ideas and concepts. So we're going to be launching, like easiest example of, let's just say you're Andrew Pekash and you're trying to think of different segments for podcast, or you're trying to come up with these newsletter segments, you may be brainstorming in a bunch of different places. And we're going to try to like organize all that together into one place so that you can, rather than using, like everybody's obsessed with generative AI to come up with new ideas, we're talking about not messing up and wasting years of your own ideas, right? So that's something we're focused on. And then content identification is something that we haven't hit that we're trying to do. On Gondola already, if you put an image up from like on your account and let's say a tweet, and you want to see all the different times that piece of content was used by other people, we have that live as a feature. But you're going to see a lot more development in that space so that people can really understand their reach of their content and feel like empowered by it. So that's coming up, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. The market's going in the right direction. I think that there's this focus on original content the last couple of years, and there's so many docs that came out about athletes and whatnot that it got a little saturated. So the next big thing that people are going to be working on is, I think, marrying the fact that people they crave storytelling, but there aren't enough places. You can't just do a million podcasts. And then figuring out how to do that though, in whether it's branded content that does that or other venues. And then the last thing is just the vodcast world. It's like, it's not a secret to anybody, but if you ask a classroom of kids in high school, do you know the Travis Kelce, Jason Kelce New Heights? They'll all say, yeah. You say, how many of you have seen clips on social? They'll all raise their hands. If you say, how many of you have listened to a full episode? Nobody will raise their hand, right? So
yeah.
The continued growth of the video assets coming from the podcast is going to be massive.
Man, that's me right there. I see clips every day on them, but I've never listened to a full one. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's a lot of these big ones, because they just branded on the videos, they're not really advertising on the podcast itself as much as the clips, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I think that is another great opportunity space. I think that the clips are right now used as a vehicle to drive, and you can do a really great job of using them for unique assets if you do things like illustration and, you know, coupling it with real footage. So there's a lot that can be done to, you know, increase the financial viability of those podcasts outside of just general sponsors inside.
Yep. And as we close out, Jared, appreciate you coming on. Website, socials, where are we getting the juice? Summit in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, go to gondola.cc for all information about the summit and all that stuff. That's our website. And everybody, if you're a sports creative, you should have an account. And if you're not a sports creative that may ever work with one, you should have it, because we've solved the question of who made that on social. So like, if you see a sick photo that MLB puts out, and you're like, I wonder who took that. We've actually solved that issue. And then, Fresh Tape Media. So follow On Gondola is all our social channels. To be honest, we have Gondola on a couple of them, but we haven't switched entirely until this one Instagram spammer gives up the Gondola handle. If you're listening, weird dude in, I think, Europe, please give us that handle. He hasn't used it in 7 years. And then on social, also Fresh Tape Media. It's a heck of a follow.
I love it. Well, good stuff, Jared.
I appreciate you. I love what you're doing for the community. Good stuff.